The voice of the Memphis Grizzlies, Eric Hasseldine, joining us. Eric, how you doing today, buddy?
I couldn't be better. Sun's out. It's 85 in Memphis, and the Grizzlies came back with a split. It could have been 2-0, but I think everybody here is pretty happy snatching home court advantage and being able to come back to FedEx Forum for games 3 and 4.
Eric, I tell you, I got a chance to watch Memphis this year at the FedEx Forum against Boston, and this is a fun team to watch. And if anybody hasn't seen them or what they bring to the table, just watching Zach Randolph and Mike Conley, what they've done, they've grown so much just within the last year. This team is a real threat in the playoffs right now.
I think that's true, and I think that that's a fair statement about their growth. Once the trade for Rudy Gay went down and a lot of people just kind of wrote the team off, those two guys along with Marc Gasol and Tony Allen, for that matter, and even Jared Bayless, all knew they needed to step up, that there was going to be a hole of 19 points and about 7 rebounds and 3 or 4 assists that was gone. But it also meant that the ball could move quicker. It meant that guys could get more touches and guys could be more aggressive on the offensive end and be less passive. You know, when you have a guy like Rudy Gay who can create his own shots, you tend to stand and watch at times because he's that good. But they've grown, and, you know, it's crazy. I grew up watching the Chris Mullin, Mitch Richmond, Tim Hardaway, the Run TMC Golden State Warriors who could score 140 on any given night. And never thought I'd like a team that was considered a defensive team, but this is a different type. They're aggressive, and people that think they can't score are just not looking into it hard enough. They maximize their opportunities, and they make teams take 20, 21 seconds on the shot clock regularly, which is why there's fewer possessions. They're not a grinded-out team as much as they are just so physical and so aggressive defensively. It makes it difficult for their opponent.
Yeah, I agree with you. And Rudy Gay was out a couple years ago when Memphis had a little bit of playoff success. Do you think that helped them make that trade when they did have success when he was hurt?
I think no question. I mean, I think that came into play, that you knew that you had had a successful run without him. But, you know, 2 years ago is 2 years ago. A lot's
right.
Changed, and a lot's changed around the league. And, you know, you can't even look at opponents that you played from 2 years ago. And even though, you know, the Thunder have generally the same core, they're missing a guy in James Harden when they beat them. And San Antonio is different now than they were back then. But I think they felt like, you know, the ball was sticking in the hands of a go-to scorer, and they had a lot of guys that were better than just complimentary players. They had guys that had made all-star teams. They had guys that could create shots but weren't getting that opportunity. And I think the other factor was they knew they had to make the move. You know, it's no question that Mike Conley and Marc Gasol are the leader of this team, but if you ask any fan who the heart and soul and who epitomizes this team, it's Tony Allen.
Right.
And if you don't move Rudy Gay, you don't sign Tony Allen. That's just simply put, because he's unrestricted. You're not going to have the money. You're going to have to renegotiate the deal with Rudy if you can. And I think ownership realized in this system and in this scheme, a guy like Tony Allen, who just can wreak havoc defensively, is so valuable that you got to make sure you keep him. And I think that was one of the factors why they did it, where everybody looked at it as a salary dump. You know, I looked at it as, hey, it's part of the future, and it doesn't look like it's working with Rudy. And if you can keep a guy it is working with and make sure you keep him, you do it.
Eric Hasseldine, the voice of the Memphis Grizzlies, joining us on Overtime right now. And, Eric, you guys, they beat Oklahoma City 3 times this season in the regular season, but now that they don't have Westbrook in the lineup, meaning the Thunder, this just seems like the favorite now is Memphis to win the series rather than Oklahoma City. And I think the last game we saw, Memphis really came out on fire and really attacked the lane and did things that, you know, when you've got Westbrook on that team, you know, they don't usually do.
Well, I don't want to correct you. I mean, I don't mean to correct you, but it was twice out of 3 games.
Okay.
And the one game they lost was right after the trade, and they basically had 6 players available. And I give the Thunder a lot of credit that night. They came out and made their first 10 shots. And I don't care if you had 15 guys available. When a team makes 10 shots in a row and gets up on you that quick, it's hard to beat them. I think it's not just as much the attacking of the lane. I think it's the Thunder also having to learn how to play without Russell. And, you know, Kevin Durant, as many people that want to sit there and talk about how nobody's even close to LeBron James, and certainly he's unbelievable, I really believe that Kevin Durant's just a shade behind him. I believe LeBron's the best, but you're seeing Kevin Durant now that without a guy that's taking some opportunities. And people may say, well, look at Dwayne Wade. Well, yeah, if you look at Dwayne Wade, you can see that he's deferred to LeBron over the last couple of seasons, and look at how much better it's made LeBron. And he's a team player, as Durant is. And you don't see that as much out of Russell Westbrook deferring to Durant. And I understand that. He's young. He's incredibly talented. He's one of the best guards in the league. and they're a dynamic 1-2 punch. You lose that type of player, it's tough. Reggie Jackson has played well. Kevin Martin's tried to step up. But you don't have a guy that just gets the ball on the wing and can, in the blink of an eye, be 30 feet down the floor and can dunk over just about anybody in the league. That's not what you have anymore. So I think they miss his offensive presence more than his defense. But the fact still is the Grizzlies are a very difficult matchup for the Thunder because they are physical, because they can go down low and get guys like Ibaka and Collison into foul trouble. And now you're forced to keep Kendrick Perkins or Hasheem Thabeet in the game. And, you know, no disrespect to those guys, Zach Randolph and Marcus All are going to chew them up. And Mark's ability to hit that mid-range shot really gives them problems as well. And now with the floor spread out and the ball moving faster, it opens the lane for Mike Conley, who's being more and more aggressive. So, you know, it's crazy. It was crazy for me to think that they would be the favorite going into this because the best team I saw, I thought, this year in the West was the Thunder, even though the Grizzlies beat them twice. And I thought it would be an incredible matchup. But, you know, not to sound like a homer, I do think the Grizzlies are the favorite, and now I have home court advantage. That means nothing, though, in this league if you don't go out and play. And if the Grizzlies go out and play the way they did in the first two games, I'd feel pretty good about their chances.
Yeah, I have to agree with your statement on Durant. He's gotten better each year, and I believe he's the second-best player in the league. And before I ask you a question about him, I wanted to talk to you about Gasol and Randolph. My eyes tell me they are the best duo big man in the game right now. Just the way that, you know, Marc Gasol has that Euro background where he can pass the ball, very high basketball IQ, and they both can get rebounds. That has to be where the ball goes just about every time. And Serge Ibaka and Kendrick Perkins, they cannot match up with Gasol and Randolph.
You know, Ibaka's a great athlete, and he really is a phenomenal weak side help defender, comes in, blocks shots, and had an incredible block in game one that changed the complexion. Marc Gasol thought he had a layup, and that's what he brings to the table. But they don't match up well, because if you do get physical, Marc can run through the lane with a sweeping hook that, you know, I don't know that we've seen since the days of Kareem and Bob Lanier, but it works. And then he can spot up for that shot. And then with Zach Randolph, you know, I've spoken to Nick Collison before, and he basically said that playing Zach Randolph is like wrestling a grizzly bear for 2 hours and coming out on the short end of the stick. You're beaten up, you're bloodied, and you got nothing for your efforts because the bear still won. So, you know, it's incredible to watch them work. And, you know, I always laugh when people say, well, Mark's just not that good because he only grabs 8 rebounds, or Mark's just not that good because he does this. I can tell you this. I've been covering this league for almost 20 years. I have not seen a better passing big man come around in those two decades, maybe other than Vlade Divac, and I still think Mark might be better than that.
Arbenas Sabonis.
Or Sabonis. And that's, you know what's funny? You bring that up, Zach Randolph calls Mark Little Sabonis.
Right.
Zach played with Arvidas, and yeah, I had forgotten about him too, and it's incredible. His court vision is amazing, and the things he can do. And, you know, I think if Mark wanted to score 20 and grab 10, he could, but Mark cares about one thing, and that's winning. And he knows it's his best chance is to keep everybody involved. And so when those guys are on and when they're getting involved, you know, you almost just want to look down the sideline at the opposite coach and go, good luck, because I don't know who you're going to pick to stop, and it's not going to be easy.
Yeah, and Serge, he is a great athlete, but he's more of that defender that gets blocks by helping. You know, when he's one-on-one matched up, it's tough on him. But I like the move when y'all did get Tayshaun Prince, because he knows his role. And like you said, he's not somebody who's going to be worried about getting 15 shots a game. And just talk about how this team has gelled, where it seems like everybody on the Grizzlies knows their role. And Mike Conley, honestly, when he came into the NBA, I thought he was a project. I didn't know if he would be good or if he'd be like Sebastian Telfair and would kind of burn out. But he is getting better. Talk about his growth also.
Well, to start with Tay, you know, Tayshaun is crazy. When I first got into covering the league in Sacramento, I remember someone telling me, this guy's a pro. And I just went, well, what the hell does that mean? You know, everybody's a pro at this level.
Right.
But there's different levels of that. And what I figured out that means is, a guy that you would call a pro is a guy that, if he's not scoring, if he's not, you know, out there taking 15, 20 shots, or he's, you know, 2 for 9, he's making little things happen, whether it's offensive rebounds, deflections on defense, you know, creating opportunities for his teammates. And that's what Tayshaun Prince does. And it's incredible how unselfish and how, you know, focused this guy is. He doesn't ever let the fact he's having a bad shooting night get to him. He doesn't ever let the fact that he's not a focal point of the offense bother him. He just basically goes out and says, okay, this is my job. This is what I'm going to do. And I'm going to do it to the best of my ability on a night-in-night out basis. And, you know, when you mentioned Mike Conley being a project, you weren't wrong. Mike Conley was a project. When he came into Memphis after he got drafted, I looked at him and I thought, man, if the Mississippi River gets a good strong breeze, it's getting falling over.
Right.
And, you know, then got hurt and, you know, was in a tough situation because the Grizzlies had Kyle Lowry and a coach that really didn't know which way he wanted to go. It took Lionel Hollins coming in and taking over from Mark Iveroni and basically for both Marc Gasol and Mike Conley and looking at both of them saying, you're the point guard, you're the center, we're building around you guys, we're going to get you the pieces, and we're going to win. And they bought into it. And Mike still had his moments, and Mike still had times where he deferred, and, you know, they stuck with him. And they stuck with him through thick and thin, where a lot of people said, hey, he doesn't deserve that contract, or hey, he doesn't deserve the opportunity he's getting. He's not that good. You can't win with him. And he's just basically gone out and told everybody, yeah, you can, just give me the shot, and he's done it.
Yeah,
couldn't be a better guy.
No question they're playing well. Eric, thanks a lot, man, for joining us.
Guys, anytime. Thanks for having me.